You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Spring welcome to you from myself and the Nature Kingdom. You're listening to Nature Connection Show. My name is Sarah Turner and you are listening to Natural Health Radio. Today's show is celebrating spring. Here in the UK we've had such a mild winter and the last week or so spring is really starting to show herself. We have had glorious displays of snowdrops. Now the daffodils are fully open, the crocus are up, the sun's shining, the blackbirds are returning, and it's really, really beautiful to smell the fresh air and just to be able to allow that air into the house and into all of our energy systems as well. So today we're celebrating spring. My guest today is a lady who is a medium, an intuitive healer, a theta DNA healer, a psychic counsellor, a clairvoyant, a producer of flower essences, in fact, the Touchwood flower essences. I'm speaking about Carrie Thomas, who is also the holder of the National Plant Collection of Aquilegias here in the UK. So how exciting to be able to talk to somebody like Carrie, who's so in touch with nature and has brought all aspects of herself together to really offer these and teach all of us how to live alongside nature. And if you love aquilegias, as I do, you're really going to want to listen to today's show, because we're going to hear about how to actually grow them physically, but also their energetic gifts. We're also looking at the gifts of spring, as I've mentioned, and in the second half of the show I'm going to be sharing with you some of the gifts of spring, such as the ability to focus and to plan, and some flower essences that can help you do just that. And in the spirit of spring, the Manifesting with the Moon course that my training company Essentially Flowers runs is launching again the very next new moon, which is in just over 2 weeks' time on the 30th of March. The last Manifesting with the Moon that we ran in February was an amazing success. I was really humbled by the women that came on board and how they took part and how really they allowed themselves to connect with the rhythms of the moon and to be supported by the Nature Kingdom. So the focus of the February Manifesting with the Moon was really just with winter and visioning and dreaming. So now with spring on her way and being able to do Manifesting with the Moon throughout April, it's going to be very different energies. It is all about moving forwards, putting plans in place, really focusing our energies. And so I'd love you to join us for Manifesting with the Moon. To find out more, please come onto my training site, which is essentiallyflowers.com. Look under the courses tab and you can find all about how you too can manifest with the moon just for April, or if you're so inclined, actually sign up at a really great price to manifest with the moon for the whole of 2014. So without further ado, we're now going to be talking to Carrie. I will see you after the break. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connection Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner and today I have a very exciting guest, Carrie Thomas. Now, Carrie is a plants woman and a healer, and we're going to be talking about these two parts of herself in the interview. So to tell you a little bit more about Carrie before we start speaking to her, Carrie is a medium. She specialises in intuitive healing, theta DNA healing, psychic counselling and clairvoyant readings. She's also the creator of Touchwood flower essences and, as I mentioned, a very keen plants woman. She is also the holds the national plant collection of Aqualegia in the United Kingdom. So, wow, Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here.
Yes, so it's really exciting to have you here because we are in early spring as we record. It's the time when we're starting to look outside our windows and actually connect with the earth again. So to have you here talking about growing and gardening and all of those things is wonderful. It might be useful just to start with to ask you, because as I mentioned at the beginning, you do have these two strands of yourself. Clearly you're a very talented and gifted healer. And you also work with the earth through the aquilegias and other plants as well. Which part of you kind of came first, or is there an answer to that?
Okay, yeah, good question. I've always been interested in gardening. As kids, we always had our own gardens at home. And as soon as I had moved away from home and had a flat, then I was the one that was interested in getting the garden up together. And as soon as I had my own garden, well, that was it. Things took off in a crazy way. So the answer is the gardening came first. That's what's been feeding my heart, mind and soul for many years, and it's been in the background of all the different sorts of work that I've done over the time. And it still continues to nourish me. But, oh, since the healing's come in and the other work that I've done, it's wonderful that I've got the two different strands to my life, and each feeds me in a different way and supports me so well.
Yes, and it's literally just coming to me as I listen to you that you have this lovely heaven-earth connection, don't you? You have your wonderful grounding connection with the earth through the gardening. And you have a very strong connection with what the Chinese would call the heaven energies through your counselling, your clairvoyant skills, your intuitive healing.
I'd never looked at it that way, actually, Sarah, but it's a good way of putting it. I've certainly felt that through much of my life, I've needed the gardening as a good grounding exercise. I always feel better out of doors and freer and easier to breathe. It's great being outside in all weathers, actually. I remember in the autumn, I was rerouting a path and actually washing gravel by hand, and it started to rain and I was there sheltering under a bit of a tree, and I had this enormous smile on my face and I was just so happy. So yes, whatever the weather, it's good to be outside.
Yes, and I can tell that is that part of you that actually leads you forward. So, well, let's talk about gardening and being outside and springtime. And, of course, this is the perfect time of year, isn't it, to start connecting?
Yes. I mean, we are human beings. We are animals. We are part of the natural and world around us. And just as the garden is beginning to burst and break forth and develop and grow, I think that we're doing the same. We may not hibernate like bears, but I think we go into this quiet, subdued mode in winter. And when we get the sunshine and the warmer days and the longer days, we start breaking out. We start moving more. We start widening our horizons, just like the plants do.
So maybe we can talk about that together, because I find it also very interesting. And I think you know this is a love of mine, to actually use the earth as a guide forward for our soul and therefore how we engage in life. So you're the expert on this. Now is the time to sow seeds, or should we have already sowed seeds at this point?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Certainly with my aquilegias, I start sowing them in January. None of them have actually germinated yet, but with this nice warm weather we've been having, I expect them to come up very soon. If I sowed now, they would germinate, instead of 2 or 3 months, they'd probably germinate in about 8 weeks at the most, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And in May, they can germinate in about a month. But come May, I'm just so busy doing other things in the garden. So I tend to sow my seed as early as possible. And then they are quite happy sitting in their pots, whether they get frozen solid or whatever, and they'll come up in their own good time. Different seeds, sow at different times. Anything that is going to flower this year and is nice and hardy, you could be sowing it, I guess March is a good month, okay, and into April. And things that are not so hardy, you can get them going around about the end of the month, but don't put them out until frosts have finished in your area. And not just the flowers, we're looking at the vegetables as well. So I guess I'm going to be planting some things fairly soon, sowing some of the seeds of the easy things. And nothing comes as easy as cress. And I just love growing my own cress outside, and it's used as a cut and come salad vegetable that keeps going for a very long time.
It does, doesn't it? How quickly does that seed then? It's really quick, isn't it?
It is. Going to be dependent on the warmth and the temperatures outside, but it'll certainly be showing within a week, I'd have thought, if it's warm enough. Mm. And the good thing about the cress is that it's real cress, whereas the stuff that we buy in the supermarkets nowadays tends to be rapeseed, which is basically a cabbage. Oh. So it hasn't got that strong, bitey flavour that real cress has got.
Okay, okay, wonderful. Yes, well, this is the wisdom that comes through somebody like yourself. So as we sow the seeds, it strikes me as being a lovely soul aspect to do, because we can actually, as we go out into nature and sow the seeds in our garden, we can actually start dreaming and sowing the seeds of our plans to come.
Yes, it's a wonderful metaphor, isn't it? Can you believe that these seeds grow into large plants? My 3-year-old granddaughter couldn't believe. I've got a eucalyptus seeds just germinating, and she couldn't believe that trees could be grown from such tiny seeds. Yeah. And it's the same with all of our plans are seeds in our mind. And then they grow, and then they develop, and they germinate, and they take root, and they grow. And just as trees put out branches, so our plans sometimes have a life of their own and grow in all sorts of new ways, don't they? Not how we envisioned them to start with.
And it's very useful to, it's a reminder that everything has a season, and that this is the season for sprouting out and growing and starting to stretch our arms and legs.
Yes, and it's good to be able to get out there and have that physical work with the soil, perhaps digging things over. And I love nothing better than to get my hands deep in that soil. It's so grounding and so rewarding. And all of the time as I'm sowing my seeds, I'm thinking of what they're going to be like when they grow and flower. And with aquilegias, although I'll be sowing them or already sown them now, they're not going to flower for the first time until next year for me.
Really?
So it also it also teaches patience. That's another good thing to have up your sleeve, isn't it, in modern life?
Yes. So tell us how you and the aquilegia just came to form such a wonderful friendship.
Well, I never had a favourite plant, or I didn't think I did, though I was very jealous of my brother's garden as a young child, because he had this amazing plant that came up each year, whereas most of the stuff we would be growing in our own little gardens would be annuals. But he had a fantastic shaped leaves that caught droplets of rain like little spheres, like little sort of wobbly marbles of glass. And then up it came to, very tall up to me, and beautiful blue flowers, of which I'd never seen anything like the shape. And it was only many years later I learnt that this was the ordinary sort of wild columbine or granny's bonnet, aquilegia. But when I had my own garden, I quickly developed a sort of cottage garden style, but it was mainly because I wanted it all. I wanted everything. And cottage gardens, everything is very jam-packed full of all of the different flowers that we've grown for centuries. Yeah. You know, the cottager would have grabbed all of the ones from the wild that were a little bit different. And so, yes, we'd have had our wild granny's bonnets, our aquilegias, the columbines, but there'd be bell flowers and the hardy geraniums, which are crane's bills. Primroses, and we've got four different native types of primulas in the UK, plus natural hybrids as well between them, especially when they're in the garden. And I couldn't decide between them. And then slowly, slowly, I started growing more cultivars, named ones of aquilegias, and becoming more and more enamored of them. And in the end, for a couple of years, I tried it on for size by saying, this is my favorite flower. And it didn't feel wrong. And it has become so right for me that although I grow so many other plants as well, aquilegias is the number one for me.
You're listening to the Nature Connections Show on Natural Health Radio, with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Well, I had the privilege of hearing you talk about them just a couple of weeks ago, and you have so much knowledge and clearly so much passion. I saw you totally come alive as you spoke about them.
Oh, it is a wonderful flower. I just can't get over the variety, because although I've been breeding them and growing them for, I suppose, decades now, each year they surprise me. Each year there's new ones that flower for the first time that I've never even dreamt of in all of my creativity. I grow about 1,200 or so new seedlings each year, of which at least 1,000 each year are likely to get to flowering stage. So I see a lot each year, but every year there's something new, something different, a new line to pursue, a new twist to the intricacies of these flowers.
So for people that... there may be people listening a little bit like me, maybe, that know what an aquilegia looks like but don't know all the details. There may be people that don't know what an aquilegia looks like, and there may be people who know loads like you. So could you give us a kind of, if it's at all possible, a little brief introduction to the different kinds, and maybe, if it is possible on radio, to describe what kind of flowers they are?
I think that's an almost impossible task, Sarah. Yeah. I'll give it a go. Here goes. Okay.
Well, maybe we can pop some photos up on the site to show people. Ah,
I think that's a brilliant idea, because a picture paints 1,000 words, yes, doesn't it? But if I try and paint a little picture, they've been likened to doves or pigeons. In fact, columbine comes from the French word for dove. And if you look at them, they've got five little doves sitting in a circle having a good old chat. Especially in a white colour, you can see those doves beautifully. So the curved neck and head of the doves are, in fact, nectar-filled spurs that project out sort of behind the face of the flower. So they're very different to just about any other flower I've seen in that respect. It also means the bumblebees love them, because they love the collecting the nectar. They've also got a little frill of other petals that come out more like a sort of dancer's skirt at right angles to those other ones, which are hollow like a horn of plenty shape, yes, with the nectar at the bottom. The normal ones have got a total of five of those swan necks or dove neck sitting in a circle. So the basic flower's got five simple petals, but that you can have double forms as well. So you can have different forms of doubles. Some of them are quite frilly, some of them are quite elongated, others look a bit like a pleated skirt. And some of them are very, very doubled indeed. So you get a pom-pom shape. And in fact, with some of those, instead of just 5 petals, there can be 100 petals.
Wow.
So you, yeah, it really does make a difference. And then you've got the colour range. The colour range goes from the wild sort of indigo blue purpley shade, from the white through to pinks and reds, which is sort of a plemmy type of red. And we can get bicolours here in this country. The bicolour, the second colour is always white, but you get blue and white, red and white. And perhaps the most dramatic of all is called William Guinness, which is an almost black with white centre.
Wow.
And you can have that in single and double forms as well.
Wow. Well, I think you've done a great job of describing to us there. Yeah, wonderful. Is the aquilegia a typical English plant, a flower?
It's certainly one of our native wildflowers, but it's not just over here. It's found through much of Europe. It's known as Aquilegia vulgaris, is the Latin name for it, which just means the common one, vulgar, common. So the common Aquilegia or granny's bonnet. And because of that, it does mean that we've had centuries of selection from interested gardeners. And we know from paintings that 1,000 years ago they were probably growing a lot of the same types of shapes and colours that we grow now, either here or on the continent.
Yeah, well, it certainly feels to me like a typical English plant, but I understand as well that the fascination has been taken to other countries too. Now, my limited knowledge of the aquilegia as growing it as a plant, we have a garden quite close to where I live that has a beautiful, has a lot of aquilegias growing in it in the summer, and we find that the gardens around it also have lots of, they seed themselves quite easily.
Oh, they're very enthusiastic.
Okay, yes.
In fact, my neighbour's front garden, she's never grown an aquilegia there in her life, and it's absolutely smothered.
Yes, okay.
Her back garden, in fact, I've taken over the bottom part of it because my national collections spilled over. What happened a couple of years back is that I started getting interested in, as you say, some of the ones from different countries. In America, they have big, huge flowers, very long spurs, and they've got brighter colours than we've got. Unfortunately, they didn't particularly like my warm and wet conditions here in Swansea. But I've been interbreeding them with our own, and also selecting the ones that have grown here well and crossbreeding those to try and get ones that suit our climate. And that work has been resulting in the fact that I've now got 2 national collections, and the second one is the recognizing the double forms that I've got that bring in yellow as a color, which comes from the American gene. So I've got red and yellow doubles and purple and yellow doubles. It's part of the excitement. And just to put that into perspective, national plant collections are for the whole of the UK. And it's run through the charity Plant Heritage, and it's really looking after the established old cultivars that may be dying out if people don't grow them and understand them more and know what they're supposed to look like, because sometimes they're in the literature, but we don't know whether we're growing the right one in our gardens, because not everything's well named, even at some of the most modern garden centres.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there are 2 national collections of aquilegia, so I've got them both here in Swansea.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, yeah. And looking at your website, I see your garden is open.
Oh, yes. Whenever the garden is open, it's when the aquilegias are flowering. Mm. It's a bit movable. Oh, my goodness me. Last year, it was so late the season, wasn't it?
Yes.
I thought it was never going to happen.
Yes.
Usually the middle of May, but last year it was well into sort of the 21st, 22nd of May before they started going. And they keep going for at least 6 weeks because the ones that have got yellow in them are much less. The later flower, there's an overlap between our native ones and the other ones that I'm breeding, but nevertheless, they are later flowering. So mine keeps going for a good 2 months in the garden looking good.
Mm.
I have been open as early as the 2nd of May, so it can be 3 weeks difference between a warm spring and a late spring.
Mm, and this year is going to be one of those earlier ones, isn't it? Because we have had such a mild winter, haven't we?
Yes, I think some things have never gone fully dormant. Stuff that I would have expected to have died back or even died out are still going strong. That's wonderful.
Yes. Well, we're going to tell everybody how they can maybe come and visit your garden and how to find out about you towards the end of the interview. What I'd like to talk to you about is just to bring in this healing side of you a little bit and talk about, can we talk about aquilegia as a flower essence?
Yes.
You can hear the enthusiasm in my voice here.
Yes. And in mine too, because you're bringing in two subjects close to my heart here, aren't you?
Yes.
My flower essences, when I first got into them, they were just going to be made for me. That's what I thought was going to be happening anyway, though the universe seems to have different ideas, doesn't it, sometimes?
Yes.
So it was in 2004 that I got led spiritually to start making essences and to actually start doing it at full moon. So when the full moon would come that year, I would find out through channeling, through clairvoyance, through channeled writing or whatever you want to call it, what I was going to be using and what essence I would be making. And then after I'd made it, I would channel what it was for. And then we'd try it out, and I'd also check with a local dowser to find out whether what I'd channeled was correct and that I'd got the right gist. So the first one I actually made in June, and it was made with a big American, actually, a red and white aquilegia, long spurs. These, instead of hanging down like our flowers do, these look out at you horizontally.
Mm.
And it was also made with daisy, which was in full flower in my lawn at the time, and with a quartz crystal. So everything was there in the bowl. So it was made as a combination essence.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that this is very much a spiritual essence and perhaps helping to align ourselves to that heavenly aspect, that spiritual aspect of ourselves. The name I was given for it is Truth and Alignment. And it's to do with truth as a capital T, if you like, the spiritual truth. In particular, think of how we scare ourselves with our minds. Yeah?
Yeah?
I can't do that, or I'm not good enough, or life's too hard. There's things that happen to us. But the things that happen to us are usually far kinder than the stories we tell ourselves in our mind. How am I going to cope? You know, how will I make the collecting the kids from school in time when I'm stuck in a traffic jam? And from simple to the big questions in life. And this one just helps nudge us back in the right direction to truth with a capital T that allows us to align ourselves with that real truth and what we can do. It helps to purge away unworthy thoughts and replace it with a sense of calm, which is back to truth and alignment. So I also see it as very much an alignment away from fearful thoughts.
That sounds like an essence that would appeal to many, many people.
Yes, it's a very useful one and helps to calm things down, especially when our mind runs away with us and when we really want to do something, but we might tell ourselves that we can't or shouldn't. Mm. It can also help us to say no.
So is there another Aqualegia essence that I can ask you about?
It was interesting because this was also done at the June full moon in 2004. And this time it was one of the very earliest ones that I had growing in the garden of those doubles that I said. Mm. This was a sort of reddish orange with yellow. So it was a very unusual Aqualegia to be growing in this country at all. And this time it was combined with clover leaf. Again, it came from my lawn. As you can probably hear from this, my lawn has an awful lot of things in it rather than just grass. Mm. I often feel, in fact, that a lawn without daisies is a bit like a night sky without the stars. Anyway, let's get back on to this Aqualegia essence. This was interesting because when I channeled the name of it, it came out as spleenwort or tranquility. Well, that confused me. It certainly confused the scientist in me because spleenwort is the common name for a little fern that grows in walls. And it was named spleenwort, that means a herb that we'd have used for the spleen. And this didn't have spleenwort in or anything, so I couldn't understand it. And I was told that it was very useful for the body. And again, it helped to clarify the mind and the soul and offers wholeness to one fragmented by the truth. So very similar to that last one. So the tranquility, certainly I could understand that name. And it wasn't till, well, many, many years later when I sort of started thinking about the spleen works, because I make it under the name Tranquility. And I suddenly thought, okay, spleenwort, something to help your spleen. Now you know what it's like when we say we vent our spleen. Mm. We vent our anger. The spleen is supposed to be where we hold in our anger. But especially for women, when we hold in our anger because we suppress it, we suppress our resentment, we suppress our bitterness, it can give melancholy. So the spleen certainly used to be thought of as the seat of melancholy, or it would also be the seat of anger for those people that could express it. So perhaps what I was channeling at the time is the idea of tranquility again, the spleen, helping your spleen, helping the resentment, helping the bitterness, helping the anger, and to bring again wholeness, to come back to truth, to come back to you're fine, you're a good person, you can do this, everything's well, relax into it, and life isn't quite as hard as you thought it was.
So there does seem to be this theme with the two essences that you've spoken about that have come through the Aqualegias and brought other plants through, flowers through with them, and crystals too, of truth.
Yes, it is. And I'm harking back to what you said at the beginning, Sarah, about how I will work perhaps with the heaven and the earth. And this is evidently a flower of the earth, but perhaps it's bringing in that heavenly aspect, that holier part of us, our spirit that knows everything is fine, everything is well, everything is truth.
Mm. Mm. Yes, it's certainly what I do know of the Aqualegia as a flower and as an essence. It is a spiritual, it does have quite a spiritual essence, and you can tell that when you look at the flower, because it is almost, as you described, like flying. You know, it has quite a lot of an air about it, literally from the air element.
Yes, and of course the dove has got a very long historical link with goodness and love and religion.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating. Well, you have many gifts, Carrie, and I think it's wonderful that you've combined these two parts of you that speak to you very deeply and that you're now sharing with so many people through your garden, through what you offer, through your website, through your essences, through the clients that you meet one-to-one, through the talks you give. You're really allowing everybody to learn so much about the plants, the flowers, the acrilegias, and about themselves. So tell everybody how they can find out more.
Okay, well, certainly if you're interested in seeing acrilegias when they're flowering, or if you want to buy acrilegia seed now to grow yourself from me, my website is www.touchwoodplants.co.uk. My company name is Touchwood just because that's the name of my house and my garden. So Touchwood Plants, all one word. And on there you'll find everything that you want to know about acrilegias and how to grow them. And if you go to the acrilegia seed page just to look at the pictures, you will be astounded. And it comes with a bit of a warning. It may become part of a lifelong obsession with you too.
Are there any climates where acrilegias grow best or don't grow?
Well, certainly here in the UK you won't have any problem. Evidently, places that are very hot and very dry in the summer can be difficult. Places that are cold in the winter and frozen and snow shouldn't have too much problems. It can be winter warmth and wet that they are less happy with. In fact, they do need a cold period to come through in a winter before they are going to set flower buds and flower the next year.
Okay.
But they're very, very amenable. They couldn't care less about soil. They'll grow in, certainly in the UK, they'll grow in full sun. In other countries that are hotter, they probably want shade. But here in the UK, they can grow in shade. I've got some on a north side of a fence where they don't get any direct sunshine until 6:30 at night when they're actually flowering. Mm. And they manage.
Wow, that's really good to know, isn't it? Really good to know. Very easy to grow by the sounds of it.
Yes.
And your healing self, how can people find out about that part of you?
Oh, okay. That's my other site. Again, you're looking for the name Touchwood. So it's www.touchwoodspirit.com. So although the plant site was .co.uk, my spiritual site is .com. That's also because I tend to work internationally, because I can work by phone or Skype with people doing my healing modalities for a lot of them that way, as well as just here in the UK.
And if somebody is interested in your essences, they go to your
Touchwood Spirit. Yes, the spiritual site, the healing site, and everything is there, lots of information.
Mm. Yes, I've looked at your sites and they're worlds within worlds. There's so much information, lovely photographs and beautiful essences too. I'm particularly interested in your snow essences, and maybe that's an interview for another time.
I'd love to be back, because it's... that my snow essences are very dear to my heart. They're quite special, something I wanted to do for a few years, but we've got a bit of a problem. We don't have much snow here in Swansea, so I'd love to come back and talk about those sometime.
Well, maybe as we go towards winter, that would be perfect timing, wouldn't it, as we go back inwards.
Oh, wow, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carrie. I've really enjoyed connecting with you. And with the acrilegias. So thank you to both of you. and one last, what would you, a practical tip, if that's the right word, from you for people listening to get them out into their gardens, or maybe people don't have gardens, what would you suggest? What's the right thing to be doing at this time of year to get us back in touch with nature?
I don't know if we need much encouragement. I think, Sarah, sometimes it's permission to find the time in our lives to reconnect, to go outside, to look up at a tree, to take a walk in a park. If you're lucky, to go to a place that's got a big expanse of water, a lake, a stream, a river, the sea. whatever it is, it's like part of our birthright. We are outdoor animals as well as loving to be at home and homely in our houses. And I think that the more you allow yourself to reconnect to nature in whatever way it is, perhaps it's through the animals, the birds, the butterflies, the bees that are just so crazy at the moment and all of my crocuses buzzing away. Allow yourself that time to just unwind, to come back to base, to ground, to be part of all that is in, and perhaps help you to put other things back into perspective. It's not the be all and end all, the seasons go on. Everything keeps going in its own time, in its own way, and things will continue and be well.
Wow. That's a great message. Thank you. You said that absolutely beautifully. So thank you again, Carrie, for all your work.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here with you, Sarah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome back to the Nature Connection Show for today. You're listening to Natural Health Radio, and my name is Sarah Turner. So today we are celebrating the beginnings of spring. Next week our show will actually be going out on the spring equinox. How wonderful is that? And we'll be dedicating next week's show to spring and all that it represents. But as we are already almost there, certainly here in the Northern Hemisphere, in Northern Europe, we are celebrating spring as she has arrived really early for us this year. Last year, the daffodils were coming out in mid-April. They were still only just opening their flowers. This year, they've been with us since the beginning of March. So it's extraordinary how the seasons are shifting. This year, we've had the wet, but we haven't had the extreme cold. So I've been delighted, as always, to see the flowers appearing around me this spring. And I'm over with the work that I do, speaking to flowers and with the Nature Kingdom and connecting with others who do the same work as myself, in fact, training others through my diploma. I'm always really amazed by the fact that certain flowers will talk to us at different times, and people all over the world will suddenly start seeing flowers that maybe they hadn't really seen before, and great attention is focused towards them. Now, I see this as certain flowers being needed or being coming forward, volunteering themselves to help us at certain times. And there are a couple of flowers that I'm really noticing this year and that people are noticing too. If you're a Facebook user, it's one of the gifts of Facebook, actually, is really just to connect with people from all over the world. And even if you're not taking part in these discussions, just keep your eyes open and look at the different flowers that just you see appearing. Often their use in posts or threads or people talking about them are not necessarily connected. It's not conscious. It's just that the flower is speaking to them. And so if they're creating a post or writing something or an article or a blog, you might just see certain colours or certain types of flowers keep appearing. And I'm really wanting to explore that with you this week. Now, the two flowers that I'm seeing appearing right now, partly because it is spring and also because I think they're speaking to us, they have definite messages for us, are the violet flower and the crocus flower. Now, clearly they are flowers that come up in the spring anyway, and each year they will be here. As we know, certain flowers like certain levels of moisture. They like certain levels of light and coldness. So how well they appear each year is going to depend on that climate and how much rain that specific place has had and how much light, how much sunshine, how much warmth. But this is also nature's way of nurturing certain energies at certain times, and the wisdom of the earth actually bringing forward certain flowers, nurturing them more than others so that they can spread their messages. So the first flower that I'd like to just bring forward and share with you today is the violet flower. Now, this year particularly, I've just noticed violets everywhere I go. In car parks, in the grass alongside the edge where people parking their cars, in parks. I've heard people talking about them growing in their garden. I've had people asking me about making violet flower essences. So I'm seeing this as a big sign that violet is needed by many people right now and has a great message for us. If you're not familiar with the violet flower, well, actually, I think you probably are, but let me just remind you in case she hasn't appeared in where you live right now. So violet tells you a lot about her just by her name. She carries the name, the colour of her flower. They're tiny, tiny little flowers that almost certainly the ones that we have here in the UK, that are not the same as viola. They have a similar colour, but they're not the same. The wild violets that come up are tiny, tiny. You really do need to see them to watch out for them. Or maybe they're just going to be waving to you, which I think they have done with me this year. And they have almost like tiny little wings. They're almost like angel-like when they first come out. You'll see them growing in the grass, and you might need to actually, because they're smaller often than the grass that grows around them, you might need to actually just go up to them and actually just part the grass a little bit and have a true look at the flower. Now, as a flower essence, water violet certainly is very well known in the batch system. It's also connected with the Aquarian birth sign. So if you are an Aquarius, then, and also we're just leaving that birth sign now, but many people are familiar with the Aquarius energy. So it's said that the water violet essence is possibly a constitutional essence for an Aquarian. And being an Aquarian myself and knowing quite a few Aquarians, I do feel that there is some truth in that, because the water violet type tends to hold back on herself. She has much to share with the world. She has many, many gifts, but sometimes getting her hands and feet dirty in the earth aren't quite what she wishes to do. So staying a little bit aloof and withdrawn can be the natural constitution of a water violet person. Now, actually, that's fine if you are an Aquarian. It's not about changing who you are in any way. It's just balancing their gifts so that you don't hold back so much that, in fact, nobody ever gets to hear of your gifts. So taking something like the water violet essence is really going to encourage you to hold on to your unique self, your unique character, and, of course, this calming vibration that water violet constitutional people give off is wonderful. People love to be around the water violet people because they don't get sort of caught up too much in the hot, fast energies around them. They prefer to actually stand at the edges and watch. So it's very calming and cooling to be around a water violet. But if you find yourself holding back too much or finding yourself a little bit too shy, then taking some water violet essence is really going to be helpful. And as the batch essences are so available worldwide, then that's going to be a great one to look for. Now, I've actually been drawn to look at the description of the water violet essence, or in fact, the violet essence, not the water violet, in the FES, the Flower Essence Services repertory. And I'd just like to read you an example or their description of the violet essence in the FES repertory. So this is the description of the flower essence as written by the Flower Essence Services. So the soul forces of the violet type are highly refined, full of exquisite yet delicate sweetness. Such persons long to share themselves with others, but usually hold back due to a feeling of fragility in group situations and fear that their sense of self will be lost or submerged. Such a type often gravitates to a lifestyle or occupation where work is done silently and alone. The violet personality inwardly feels a great deal of warmth, but he or she appears cool and aloof to others. Even the body and especially the hands may be moist and cool. Although such persons may find a few others who are able to understand and accept their shyness, they suffer great feelings of loneliness, for they would like to share more of themselves than they actually do. The key to their unfoldment lies in being able to trust the warmth of others. Like the violet flower, whose essential fragrance cannot be detected until the sun shines upon it and the air wafts it upwards, so the violet type must learn to let its essence flow into others. Violet flower essence helps such souls shift their awareness from fear of losing the self to trust that the self will be warmed and revealed by others, so that their beautiful soul nature may be shared with the world. Now, isn't that a beautiful description? So, as I'm seeing so many violets around me right now, I just wanted to share that message from the soul of the violet to you, because it's so beautifully expressed by the FES flower essences. You may just have needed to hear that message. And you may also wish to take the flower essence. If you'd like to do that, you can go to the batch essences. Myself, I use the healing herbs essences, and go and find the water violet essence, which is a very, very similar signature, or to the FES essences, who are based in the United States, but you can usually buy their flower essences quite widely, and look for the violet essence. So the other flower that I'm seeing a lot right now and very beautifully growing here in the UK is the crocus flower. And again, I've noticed lots of people posting photographs of crocus on Facebook right now. Now, that's partly because she is growing beautifully right now. But again, I think there is so much more to that than just synchronicity of that. I think the crocus flower is speaking to us. Now again, it's a tiny, tiny flower. Any flower that comes through at this time of year is coming through a cold, often wet earth, because there hasn't been a lot of light or sunshine yet. They're quite hardy flowers, though they don't mind if there's a bit of frost. So this tells you the qualities of these flowers that bloom in early spring. They've got a hardiness about them. They can withstand the coldness. And so therefore, the essential qualities of all of these flowers are their ability to give strength, are the ability to push through possibly conditions that are not really perfect for growth, such as the cold and the frost and the rain and not so much light. So any flower that comes through at this time of year is going to help you really push through any challenges that you might have. If you've been following the Nature Connection shows, you'll know that winter time is a time of dreaming and visioning. So we're now shifting now into a different energy, whereas the seeds that you planted of your dreams, of your visions, it's now time to grow them. It's now time to allow the world to just start seeing those first shoots. So any of these flowers will help you give you the strength and courage to push through the earth. Now, I'm sure you know what a crocus looks like, but in case it's a flower that you haven't seen, you might live in a climate where you don't see these flowers. They're tiny little flowers who come through, and then when in the sunshine, in the daylight, they open into this cup-like shape. They're just a couple of inches high, they're not very big. The most familiar colours that we see here growing in the wild in this country are the golden crocus and the purple crocus. Now, depending on the colour, it will tell you a lot about which part of the body it can help with, but essentially the crocus becomes this wonderful cup-like chalice that holds and nurtures and nourishes energy. When, as she allows, as she opens her petals and allows this chalice shape to form, you can really see how she allows the sunlight to gather in that place. So if you're needing the nurturing, nourishing, chalice-like energies of the earth and of the sunshine, you might look to crocus to help you do that. Now, the violet crocus is quite well known for helping grief. And interestingly, I've come across the crocus flower both myself personally and somebody I know on Facebook sharing the photos of them in graveyards. And just happened to walk through one myself the other day to get away from the traffic on the road. And the graveyard, the grass all around the graves was just full of these crocuses. And so the purple one is very nourishing and holding for any grief that you might feel, whether that's acute or maybe more chronic, more linked to something a long time ago. The golden crocus is more of an outward flower and is very good to help confidence. The colour takes us almost back to the colour of the solar plexus and to that real sort of fire in the belly needing to be pushed through, and we needing the nourishing and holding energies of the crocus to actually allow that fire to gather and to enable us to take us forward. So the golden crocus is a wonderful flower to really combine the holding, nourishing, nurturing chalice energies of the crocus, but combining it with that more fiery gold heart-opening colour of the golden crocus. So I hope you've enjoyed hearing about these two spring flowers, and if you live in a climate where they are apparent, do go out, spend some time with them, look at them now with different eyes and acknowledge their gifts and their messages for you. So thank you again for listening to today's Nature Connections show. We'll be back next week with a show dedicated to the spring. Again, if you're interested in joining our Manifesting with the Moon program, we are launching on New Moon, March the 30th, I beg your pardon. So please come on over to my training site, essentiallyflowers.com, and find out more under the courses menu. Until next week, when I will have another guest for you talking all about their connection to nature and sharing with you some more gifts of spring. Many blessings to you from the spring flowers and myself. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.